All right. Well, are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, let us pray. Let us ask God to move upon our hearts. And I love hearing the word, love taking it, meditating upon it. So, Father, we come before you now. And, Lord, may we meditate upon your word. Lord, may we take your word this morning and treasure it. As a man treasures gold and silver, may we treasure your word today. And we pray for Pastor John. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would fill this sanctuary here today. Lord, that you would anoint him, that you would use him, and that the words that you have laid upon his heart would come forth in clarity and in boldness and in anointing. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise, and we pray that our hearts and our wills are ready to act upon it. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. Father, we ask that you bless this time, bless this message, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you were here last week, you might remember that we talked about growth, about how God is the one who always causes the growth. You know, we have to do our part, and we do. We plant, we water, we do all our little things, but God is ultimately the one who makes everything that there is grow. Isn't that true? So God will definitely use us in his growth or in his building plans, but it only really works when we submit ourselves to him. And we submit ourselves to his word, and we submit ourselves to the leading of his Holy Spirit. I mean, that's important. And as we operate or walk in and operate in the wisdom that is heavenly, the wisdom that comes from God. And that's what I want to talk about today, is building with heavenly wisdom. Matthew 7:24 says that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman who built their house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. It was built with wisdom. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to do is spend my time building something that as soon as I'm done building it, it comes crashing down. You want to do that? I don't think anybody wants to do that. I remember a time way back in the 70s. I was just a young guy, and me and another guy who I worked with, we were laid off at the time. And we spent 2 or 3 weeks working on a car. It was a 68 Cutlass that I had bought for Carol. And we weren't married yet. I wasn't a Christian yet, but we were working on this car. And I was trying to get it all fixed up for her. And it looked great. The price was really good, but it ran lousy. It ran idled really rough, and it just didn't run right. Guy says, yeah, it's never had a tune-up. It really needs to be tuned up and everything. So we got in, and nothing was working. So we took it apart. We put new lifters in. We cleaned out the combustion chamber. We put a new distributor in. We put new plugs in, new wires. We put a new gas filter in. We did everything we could do that we could think of to make this car run smooth as possible. Well, we finally got it all put back together, and this was in the dead middle of winter, working in a frozen garage out in Carlton, in one of these little rundown garages, and that's where the guy lived. And so we finally got it all back together, and guess what? It didn't work very well at all. It didn't work any better than before we took it apart. And so I ended up selling it for less than half of what I originally bought it for, plus all that time and all those parts and all the labor and everything, and it was like, man, did we blow that one? It wasn't really done with a whole lot of wisdom. And later on, I found out that the guy said, yeah, I got it running great. And I said, what? What do you mean you got it running great? He says, yeah, it just needed a new timing belt. Everything else was in great shape. And I said, what's a timing belt? I was just a kid. You know, I didn't know. I had never heard of a timing chain or a timing belt before, and that wasn't one of the things neither one of us knew. We fixed everything else but it. So this guy got a great car for like $500. And this was way back then when we only bought it for about $800, maybe a little more, $850 or something like that. So how many times in our life, though, have we done things like that where we've invested our time and our money and our energy and only see them crashing down, just like that house that was beat by the storm? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. No, see, I didn't know God then. I didn't know how to ask him. Maybe he would have told me. Might have very well have told me. A lot of times over my life, I've been thinking about things, praying about them, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and God gives me the answer in the middle of the night. Really, it's happened quite a few times. Had I known God then, he probably would have told me timing chain. I would have woke up and said, timing chain? What's that? We should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Obviously, I wasn't operating in a whole lot of wisdom at that point, but James was speaking to Christians, and that's where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, why would he say that to Christians? Well, I'll tell you why, because oftentimes Christians, as Christians, and we've all done this, and we all do it. A lot of times when something happens, we're dealing with something, we respond to the situations that confront us as the world does. We get on the internet, we look for advice. You know, we just let our emotions carry us away. We ask our neighbor for help. We do this, we do that, and we forget to even ask God. We don't get a hold of his wisdom. And God's word has a lot to say about wisdom in terms of building. You know, and we want to know the different kinds of wisdom, and there's two kinds of wisdom that are very important that God himself specifies. There's earthly wisdom, and there's heavenly wisdom. And we want to operate in heavenly wisdom. James 3:13, starting in 3:13, says, who of you is wise and understanding? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. As Christians, we need to learn to recognize the difference between these two types of wisdom. It's important for us. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise, earthly wise, are futile. The wisdom that God wants us to walk in, to build with, goes way beyond the wisdom of this world. It goes beyond information that we can get anywhere just by typing a few clicks. It goes beyond knowledge. True wisdom enables us to have a clear path, just like our own cable line, our own line, the clear, constant, and certain line that goes right to God, the Creator, and gives us insight into the way things really are, the way God meant things to be. We see the true nature of things. We see our obligations, and we also see the blessings that flow from a righteous life of obedience for those who are walking in wisdom. This wisdom allows us to see the boundaries that God has set up to protect us from danger and keep us within the realm of His blessing. That's why He has boundaries. It's all throughout the Bible, all kinds of things, all the time, speaking about boundaries. The Ten Commandments are boundaries. The laws of God are boundaries. Remember the garden, they were kept out of the garden. Everything is boundaries. And those boundaries are there. They're important. They protect us. And they keep us in God's blessing. True wisdom also lets us see the foulness and the foolishness and the futility of sin and all of its ugly consequences. Before we get into it, before we step in it, so to speak. And helps us to avoid the crossing those boundaries that God created so that we don't fall into a mess, don't fall into sin, and don't fall into the wisdom of this world. Which, according to James 3:15, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I already said that before, but I want to get that in our head. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Some examples of earthly or worldly wisdom. Abortion is just a fetus. It's not a real baby. And besides, women have a right to choose what they want to do with their own body, right? That's the worldly wisdom. But heavenly wisdom says that that baby is life. That it's precious in God's sight, that He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were created. Earthly wisdom, Facebook now lists 51 gender options that you can choose from. 51! How could they come up with so many different things? God came up with 2. Two or 51? Something's not right there. 2 is God's wisdom. Male and female, He created them. Earthly wisdom, any 2 people, or doesn't even have to be people anymore, can marry. You can marry any other person, or more than one, or any other thing. There's people out there now who have married animals and trees. You see my little baby acorn? God says marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and his tree. The world says, serve number one first. Serve myself. Serve me. God says to serve Him. And to serve one another. And seek first His kingdom. Riches and power and fame are not more important than God. But in the world, that's what people strive after. This wrong wisdom, that's all wrong and it's all unspiritual. It's all stuff that it's wanted by our carnal nature. It's not led by the Holy Spirit. It's being controlled by our carnal nature, by our passions, by our appetites, by our emotions, by our desires. But Romans 8:8 says those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. So obviously that's not heavenly wisdom. Romans 8:13-14 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. No wisdom there. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Finally, it says there's a false wisdom that is demonic. There are all kinds of spirits out there, all kinds of spiritual beings. Spirits of fear, anger, greed, lust, any number of demonic spirits will try to influence you. They can't own you if you're a Christian, if you're one of God's. They can't possess you if you're one of God's. because you got the Holy Spirit, but they can still work in your mind. They can try to influence you to get you to do wrong, to get you to stop, to get you to go on the wrong path, to get you to submit to their way of thinking instead of God's way. And don't think that they can't do it to us, that they can't, they won't try. They did it, they tempted Jesus, didn't they, out in the desert? If they can get into the mind of Jesus and try to tempt him, not that he didn't give in, he didn't give in. But they got there, they got into his mind and tried to tempt him, right? Turn these rocks into bread. Bow down to me, I'll give you all the nations. Throw yourself down, the angels will pick you up. Those, it said, were temptations. And we're told in the Word that we're still going to be tempted. That we'll all be tempted, but our God will always provide a way out so that we don't have to go through those things. Just like Jesus, he answered every one of those temptations with the Word of God. He knew what to do. He used heavenly wisdom to deal with those temptations. Temptations don't mean we sin. Just because you're tempted, you can be tempted all day long. That's not sin. Temptation is just thoughts coming at you. That's like the sun shining down on you. Put on a sunblock. Wear a hat. Same kind of thing. Block it out. Some people have really gotten into some demonic things. They've gotten into spells, curses, or incantations, or books filled with dark secrets. I know Pastor Don just recently shared with some here about a girl that got caught up in spells, and, you know, curses, and didn't know how to find her way out of it. We get trapped in that evil because it's demonic. It's hard then for it's hard. The more we give in to something like that, the harder it is to escape, because that's demonic wisdom. The devil's no dummy. He's smart, but he's not smart compared to God. Compared to God's wisdom, God can always defeat anything. His wisdom is over and above anything else, anywhere, anytime, any place. That's why we want heavenly wisdom in our life. The next verse, James 3:16, spells out what happens when earthly wisdom rules. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. People who are self-seeking and envious of others, they're always looking to get ahead at the expense of other people. They're willing to step on anybody, crawl over anybody, say anything about anybody to get ahead themselves. And that is obviously not heavenly wisdom. Selfish ambition always ends up hurting people. There's nothing wrong with ambition, being ambitious for God. We can be ambitious to get closer to God and, you know, to follow after Him and to do for Him. But selfish, when we're trying to, it's ambition of ourself, when it's our fleshly nature that's ambitious to prove itself, to get ahead, to get self ahead, then it's wrong. Selfish ambition causes problems all the time. All the time. It hurts people. We end up hurting people. And it says, there, where there's envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Because it brings disorder into the house. And what gets done ends up being evil. Instead of bringing people together, what it does is it drives people apart. It separates people. It breaks up, you know, unions that should have been there, that it breaks up, you know, good things that should have been there, but that selfish ambition divides. It divides. Instead of unity, division, rebellion, quarreling, contention, pride, backbiting, factions, all those things that were warned against in the Bible. And when self, when we have an ambitious self, carnal nature, selfish ambition, all those things come out. And they're all operating under earthly or worldly wisdom. So what does heavenly wisdom look like? Let's go back to James 3:17 again. 3:17 and 18, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere." So the first thing we see is that it comes from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven. That's where it comes from. Remember last week we said that all growth comes from God. When we grow in wisdom, that's growth. And that growth that you know that God brings about in us as we become His, as we submit ourselves to Him, as we allow God to begin to work in our life, and we start ourselves to learn and study, and then God begins to cause this growth. And it's from Him. So it comes from heaven. God's the source through the Holy Spirit always. He's the one who does the work inside of us. And if we don't have a connection with God, you ever talk on your phone and all of a sudden the connection is gone? The little timer's still going, but where the heck are they? And then a couple minutes later, I was under a bridge. I guess we got cut off for a while. Or the phone just goes dead. The connection is lost. When we don't have a connection with God, the wisdom won't be there. We lose our relationship with God. If we walk away from God or somebody who's never known God, how can they then have heavenly wisdom? The better the relationship with God, the clearer we will be able to hear that godly wisdom. It's a gift from God. It's a good and perfect and pleasing gift from God. And He wants us to have it. So these are the things that we want to look at. It says that, first of all, God's wisdom is pure. That means 100% pure, no filler, no byproducts, no nothing. No sin involved there, no earthly wisdom. God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is pure. It has no other things that it wants to do other than to promote God, promote God's kingdom, promote the things of God, to honor God, to bless God. And everything that comes from God is pure. So how can we get close enough to God to get hold of this pure wisdom? It says in Psalm 24, 3 and 4, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." So God is saying that we can have a pure heart. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Or Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." So we can get to that place when we're doing something for God, when we're seeking God, when we're trying to get, we can have pure motives. I know our lives are not 100% pure all the time. None of us are 100% pure all the time. I wish we could be. We all wish we probably could be, I'm sure, I hope. But we also know that things get in the way. But we can certainly get involved in things and have pure motives. We can do things for the right reason. We can seek God with a purity of heart. And so that's what God's saying, is when we're doing something with clean hands, not... and a pure heart, when we go before God and we try to get His understanding, His wisdom, His insight, His ideas to make, to do, to become, for something to happen, God will release that wisdom to us. So we need to cleanse ourselves also from the defilements of the world. It's almost like going on a restricted diet or something like that. Sometimes we have to cut off certain foods. Maybe you're allergic to gluten, so you cut out glutens. Well, as Christians, we should be allergic to sin, right? So we try to cut out sin. Our motives got to be pure. They must be pure. And our desire must be to serve God, to bring Him glory, to bring Him honor in what we're doing. We want to seek to build His kingdom. And when that's what we're trying to do, when we have those kind of desires within us, when we have those kind of motivations within us, and we go to God and we say, God, I want to do this. I want to do this for you. I want to honor you. God's going to pour out his wisdom. This wisdom is that the next part of wisdom is peace loving. To get hold of God's wisdom, we want to be a peacemaker. We want to be at peace with God. We want to have peace in our life. We want to have peace amongst one another. I mean, God wants us to have peace in our life, and so wisdom is connected to this peace. Remember what it said there? The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. We should want to be, first of all, more than anything, be at peace with God. Remember, we were at war with God. Some versions say at enmity, which is at war, until the blood of Jesus cleansed us from all sin, and then we were no longer at war with God. Now we can be at peace with God. We can come and relate to him. We can come before him. So because of that, you know, we can get hold of God's wisdom. And if we love that relationship, if we love that ability to get close to God, we're peace-loving. And then his wisdom then will also help us be at peace, not only with him, but with one another, and even at peace within ourselves. The things that God hates most are the things that destroy unity and cause division. You know, God wants to bring all things together, and he wants there to be this peace amongst his people, and the only place we're ever going to really find true peace is in the church, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the only way there could ever be peace on earth. You remember what the angel said? Peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. A Savior. And to this day, a Savior has been born to you. That was the acknowledgement. That was the announcement that there is a possibility to have peace. When there is one God, one Savior, one Lord, there can be peace. But when we have many gods, and all the other ones are small g's, except for our God, the true God, there won't be peace. Then there will be the constant bickering and constant clamoring and this constant, fighting as to whose God is going to be on top. Well, there's only one God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit. That's the one true God. There is no other. You know what? All these other things, conflict, rebellion, strife, jealousy, all those kind of things, betrayal, anger, manipulation, envy, that selfish ambition that we talked about, greed, gossip, slander, all those things are constantly warned about in God's Word. There's a section of Scripture that talks about the things that God hates, and every one of those things that God hates destroy the peace between his people. He hates all those things. Things that cause division, they sow seeds of division. They destroy that peace that God desires amongst his own people. Only the wisdom of God is able to overcome all these divisive things and bring peace. Another thing is true wisdom is considerate. It extends to other people the same consideration that we would like to receive from them. You think about how when you're struggling and you're going through something and you want someone to help you, you want someone to give you a break, you want someone to still care about you and see things from your point of view, being considerate is having those same thoughts then towards others, giving them a break, giving them the benefit of a doubt, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but realizing that we're all sinners saved by grace. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing out of selfish ambition. There's that selfish ambition again. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Jesus said it about as plain and simple as it could ever be said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's being considerate. That's what that's about. True wisdom is also submissive. It doesn't mean that we're going to get stepped on by everybody. That's not what that means. What it means is somebody is walking in truly in true wisdom is easily approached. Someone who we can we allow ourselves to be approached easily, and we're accessible. We're open to conviction, to correction. We're willing to listen to others, and when we know when to yield, when to say, you know what? Okay, maybe I'll think about that, or maybe you are right. You know, maybe I need to check into that. And true wisdom is not concerned so much about our rights as our responsibilities. That's how being submissive. It's always looking to God's word to be corrected, to be trained, to be reproofed, to be, you know, rebuked even. Sometimes to let God's word speak into our life and maybe others that maybe God has put around us or over us. That's being submissive to God's word, to God, to the truth, and willing to listen and be led, listen to and be led by the Holy Spirit. Submitting ourselves to Him, to the Holy Spirit. True wisdom is also full of mercy and good fruit. Overflowing, that would mean overflowing with kindness and compassion toward other people, even people that might not deserve it. To the point where we actually go out and do and help them. That's somebody who is full of mercy and good fruit. So we're merciful towards someone, and then the fruit part is where we actually help them. We actually do something to help them. Think about the kindness that God showed to us when we didn't deserve it. That's the best thought right there. You know, we didn't deserve it. God was merciful to us, and He sure did something good for us, didn't He? When He sacrificed His Son for our benefit. So for us to be merciful and full of good fruit means maybe we're going to have to sacrifice a little bit, give a little bit of ourselves, our time. True wisdom is impartial. It tells us that God doesn't want us to show favor over to only those who can bless us back. You know, what good is it? The Bible tells us, what good is it to show favor or be kind to somebody who can just, we already know they'll just give it right back to us. That's not really being really kind. That's just tit for tat, sort of. And He doesn't want us to, like, show all this honor to those who are rich and famous because they're rich and famous. Or only to those who are just like us, but not to others who aren't like us. Peter began to speak in Acts 10:34 and says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Romans 2:11 says, for there's no partiality with God. God's going to judge us all the same. True wisdom doesn't treat people differently because of their position in life. True wisdom is also sincere, not pretending to be somebody we're not, being Sunday-only Christians, being hypocrites. God didn't have very kind words for the hypocrites. You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs, you sepulchers, you snakes. I mean, He said that to the Pharisees, and He called them flat out, you hypocrites. In other words, He was saying, you're not sincere. You tell everybody else to follow God, but you're not sincere. You're not really following God. You're following all these rules and regulations, trying to prove yourself to be better than everyone else. And that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for people who are truly sincere. As Christians, we should be the most real people in the world. Not phonies. We should be the most real people in the world. When other people realize that what we do is because of our love for God, when we serve Him, and people should see then, they should see our works, and they should recognize somehow within us when they see us that we're doing it for the love of God. We're doing it because we love God. And if somehow then people can see that and realize, it tells us in the Word, then they will see our works and give God the glory and praise Him, give Him the glory. And that's what we want. You know, I mean, it's a good thing to do nice stuff and do all these wonderful things, but somehow or other, we need to let people also know that we are Christians. Come up, figure out some way to say, you know, say it. When you do something nice, just say, somebody says, thank you so much for your kindness, say, well, thank the Lord, you know, or, you know, God's just working in me, or I'm just trying to serve the Lord, you know, just trying to be a good Christian. I mean, whatever. Say something so people, you know, that they understand, they know that we love God. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the earth. But if people don't know that we're Christians, how will they see it? How will they know it? When people get to know real Christians, it should give them hope. We should give people hope that there is still good in this world. We're the hope for this world. This world's a mess. But God is the hope for this world. But as His representatives, we are the ones that show forth His light and bring hope to a crazy, mixed up, earthly, dying world. We're the light bearers now. We're the ones who bring hope. We bring the truth as representatives, ambassadors for God. As we are led by the Spirit, we will bring hope at just the right time when we're acting like a true Christian, when we're sincere. And we can't forget about the Holy Spirit, of course. I already mentioned Him, but it also tells us that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of wisdom and truth. John 14:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And He'll remind us of the things of the Word of God, the things that Jesus said. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. What are those things? Well, there's a lot of different things. Chief among them, one of the main things is God's wisdom. We know that He gives us salvation, He gives us forgiveness, He gives us a lot of different things, but one and very important thing is His wisdom. He gives us understanding of His Word. He puts it inside of us and then teaches us, counsels us through the Holy Spirit what it means. He's our counselor. What does the counselor do? He explains things to us. They should. And the Holy Spirit is our counselor with us all the time, and He reminds us of the Word, and He counsels us in it, and He helps us to apply that Word to life situations so that when we are going about our day-to-day activities, we can apply those situations, the Word of God to that situation. And I'm amazed how it seems like no matter what we're going through, it seems like it always comes up in God's Word. We have our Thursday Bible studies, and it never fails. Whatever's going on in the world comes up in our Bible studies somehow or other. We can relate almost every scripture somehow or other to our world today. So it certainly includes heavenly wisdom, the things that God freely gives to us. That's what God wants us to build our life with now. We have a lot to do. We have to do all those things with this heavenly wisdom. We have to build. We're building for God. We're building our own life. We're building our family. We're building relationships. We're building our church. We're building our community. We're building co-workers with God. We're building the kingdom of God, co-laboring with God to do those things. We're builders. We're supposed to be builders. We're supposed to be the wise builders, building for God in all that we do. And in all those areas, we need heavenly wisdom when we're building so that everything that we do doesn't just get wasted, come crashing down. Who wants to be, you know, I always remember that. It always chokes me up. That one scene in Private Ryan, Saving Private Ryan. There's a scene in there where the guy who, it was Private Ryan, who a lot of people died to save him when he was in the war, and they sent in people to go get him out because his brothers had all died. He was the only son left. So for that mom, they went to send him. It's been a long time since I saw this. I wasn't even thinking of it till just now, but it starts out where he's standing at the grave of one of the soldiers that died.
There's where I always get choked up, and he stands there with his wife, and he said, was it really worth it, what they did for me? Was my life worth it? All the stuff that those guys went through to save me, was it worth it? Was my life fit for what happened to them?
And the way I look at it is, I would be saying, and we should be thinking, did I serve my God? Did I honor my God with my life? Was my life really worth it for all those that died before me to bring me to this place? For what Jesus did on the cross? Have I lived my life to where it's worth it? Am I walking in this heavenly wisdom so that the things that I do have value? That the things that I create, that the things I build, that they have value? If we want that, we need to have this wisdom. And remember, God tells us, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. James 1:5, I'll say it again, I already read this, but if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God wants you to have his wisdom. He wants his wisdom all over the world. Why wouldn't he? He wants his people to be wise. Remember, Solomon was considered the wisest man who ever lived. How did he get that wisdom? Do you remember? God said, what do you want? He said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom to accomplish your will. There's probably no better prayer. I mean, what good is it to say, God, give me $1 million? What good is that? Give me a new car. Give me a husband or a wife, give me a home, give me children, give me, all those things are, many of them are wonderful. But God says, get the wisdom. And then all those things can be blessed when we have them. As we build with heavenly wisdom, good things are going to happen. We'll become the wise builder who builds upon the rock, and we're going to leave our mark on this world then. Our mark will be left on this world. God's working through us. Not like we need monuments built up in our name or anything like that, but we'll leave good behind us is what I mean. We'll leave a legacy behind us. If we're operating in heavenly wisdom, we, like the little ripple in the pond, you throw the pebble in and the ripples go out and out and out. You're going to leave a legacy behind you. The things of God, the people you've influenced, your children, your family, your friends, your church, your community, the things that you've done. If you're operating in heavenly wisdom, you're going to leave a tremendous legacy, your mark upon this world. And it will be the mark of a faithful servant who God gets to tell you when you come up to heaven, well done. Well done. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for your wisdom. Lord, fill us with your wisdom. Give me your wisdom, Lord. As each one of us should be able to say that, Lord, I ask for your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. Let me walk in that wisdom. Let me fulfill my duties with your wisdom. Let me be a wise husband, a wise wife, a wise child, a wise parent. Let me be a wise servant for you, Lord God, honoring you with all that I do. Lord, bless your people, Lord God. Bless each one as we hear this message. We thank you for your word. I thank you for each one that is here today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. All right, 30 minutes and we'll be back in for setting in. So if you're still around, please come on down and join us. God bless you.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's all.